Hello and welcome to the Personal Today Friday podcast. I'm Tara Craig and I'm joined today by Dan Thomas and Rob Moss. Coming up, we discuss the impact on HR of this week's emergency budget, the new coalition government's first. And we hear about the migration of Personal Today to an online platform and the subsequent closure of the magazine. But first, the news. The government is planning to implement a Conservative election promise to cap the number of non-EU migrants coming to the UK, and they will be asking employers to help. HR professionals are concerned it will prevent them from recruiting necessary staff. 13 room attendants working at a five-star London hotel have won back pay and damages after it emerged they were being paid below minimum wage. Despite signing agreements specifying they would be paid a minimum wage hourly rate, they later discovered they had been paid according to the number of rooms cleaned. The Royal College of Nursing has asked for an urgent meeting with the government to discuss the two-year pay freeze for public sector workers announced in this week's budget. They said agreeing a pay freeze 2 years in advance was short-sighted. You can read these and other news stories in full on personaltoday.com. Dan, this week has seen the new government's first budget, an emergency budget. What impact is it likely to have on HR in the workplace?
Hi, Tara. Yeah, well, there are a number of implications for HR professionals and employers. Probably the headline one was the fact that the public sector pay freeze that was already announced by the Labour government will be extended for a further year, hitting everyone who earns more than £21,000. The other aspects for employers were the fact that national insurance contribution threshold has been raised and by £21 a week above indexation, while the government has announced another consultation on phasing out of the default retirement age, which seems like the third or fourth consultation on this, but there you go. And also the fact it's going to accelerate the increase in the state pension age, which caused a lot of controversy this week.
So I suppose the biggest story really is the public sector pay freeze.
That's right. I mean, there's been a split reaction to the announcement. Our HR austerity panel had differing views on it. Now, Stephen Moore, who's Corporate Director of People Policy and Law at Cambridge and County Council, expressed concern that the pay award for staff only less than £21,000 would erode pay structures in the public sector. He said, while a pay increase for lowest paid workers would no doubt be welcome in many quarters, it erodes structures due to what he calls bottom loading, and the longer term impact will need to be considered carefully. But Graham Wright, who's HR Director at Westminster, actually said the two-year pay freeze could help minimise redundancies, pointing out that if we have 24 months to stability on costs, this will ensure redundancies remain at a realistic level. So, I mean, there's lots of views on either side, really. And economists also split on the pay freeze. Now, Duncan Brown, who's Director of HR Business Development at IES, said that, as Graham said, pay freezes would lead to less redundancies. However, but Roger Cypher, who's Professor of Industrial Relations and HR Management at Wolverhampton University Business School, actually said the pay freeze is unwelcome as it will distort recruitment and retention strategies, make it hard to plan internal labour markets, and may lead to sufficient discontent to trigger public sector strikes by next summer, which do seem on the horizon.
Okay, I mean, what other aspects, perhaps less publicised aspects of the budget, are likely to have an impact for the workforce?
Well, interestingly enough, the council tax freeze that was announced, perhaps surprisingly, because there's been a council tax freeze in London, but this is across the board, will actually lead to job losses, according to the HR chiefs we spoke to. Moore from Cambridge said that it will likely lead to further cuts in jobs and services because councils will have to balance the books without being able to raise revenue through local taxation. This is a point picked up by Dean Shoesmith, who's the president of the PPMA. He said that freezing council tax does mean less revenue, and as follows, this is likely to cause some job reduction.
The Chancellor also mentioned that he was expecting a very small increase in unemployment. What has the response been to that? Do people agree with that?
Well, yeah, George Osborne predicted that the UK economy would grow by 1.2% this year, 2.3% next year, and he then said that unemployment would peak at 8.1%. Now, it's currently 7.9%, just below 2.5 million. But what with the expected lots of job cuts in public sector to come, most economists actually suggest it will be nearer 10%, which is 3 million. And the other point that the experts we spoke to picked up was the fact that when all these public sector job cuts are made, the private sector certainly won't be able to pick up the slack. So unemployment, according to most people we've spoken to, is certainly going to push 3 million, which is going to cast into doubt some of Osborne's growth predictions.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Rob, it's been a big week in the history of Personal Today. Tell us a bit about it, please.
Well, Tara, yes, Read Business Information, the publishers of Personal Today, announced last Wednesday that Personal Today magazine is to close and the brand will migrate solely to online, to personaltoday.com. So yes, it has been a big week, but clearly, you know, with all this type of change, there's positives and negatives. PersonalToday.com has clearly got a market leading position already, so we're looking forward to building on that and making it a better website for the HR profession.
Okay, and of course there's scope for longer features, more information, audiovisual content as well on the website.
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of this stuff already, and people who come to the website will know the type of things that are available, whether it's blogs, whether it's HR space, whether it's some of our in-depth landing pages on certain topics, be it the BA strike or the redundancies that have gone on everywhere over the last couple of years. But clearly, with the focus online and the team working solely online, it's a real opportunity for us to concentrate on the web as a media, which clearly is quite different to print. And we're leaders in this field, but we can build on what we've done already, and we'll be offering a lot more to visitors to the site.
Okay, and what should readers be doing to make sure they stay in touch with personaltoday.com and they get all of the information they'd like to have?
Well, there's loads of ways of keeping in touch with Personnel Today, and clearly the podcast has been one, and there will be more. You can subscribe through RSS feeds, through Facebook, through Twitter. You can just come to the site, make it your homepage. But if I was to suggest three things that I'd recommend everybody does, they are to join Personnel Today Plus. That's our free membership scheme on the site that helps us to keep in touch with you and gives you loads of benefits such as free expert HR legal guidance and model policies and the like. So do that. Secondly, go to Personnel Today Jobs and make sure you're registered there. Upload your CV, and that will really help you with your career as you move along. You know, sometimes you might not necessarily be looking for a job when you find that best job, so it's always worth considering that side of your career. And finally, Personnel Today direct email newsletter. Many of you may receive that already. That comes out every Wednesday, and that is a digest of everything that's going on in the last week. So there's that weekly digest, Personnel Today direct. But also, if you're registered on personaltoday.com, you've also have opportunities to have daily e-alerts if you want to be in touch more often. Indeed, we have topic-specific e-alerts. So if you're just interested in, for example, equality and diversity, you can register for that category and just receive the news as and when we publish it online.
And I understand that Occupational Health and Employers Law magazines will continue to be published monthly.
That's right. Occupational Health continues. No change there. And Employers Law will also carry on. And some of the people who receive Personnel Today, who subscribe to Personnel Today, will start to receive Employers Law as an alternative. All readers will be contacted about their subscription in due course.
Okay, and what about the Personnel Today Awards?
Personnel Today Awards is continuing. That will be held on the 30th of November, and the entry deadline is today, although I feel obliged to let our listeners to the Personnel Today podcast, you know that sometimes you hear things here before anywhere else. The deadline for entries has been extended to the 2nd of July. So you do have an extra week. If you were thinking of doing it and then realised that the deadline was today, you do have one whole extra week. So it's Friday the 2nd of July is the deadline for entries.
Thanks, Rob. Well, that's it from this week's podcast. Thank you for listening. Remember that all of our news stories and features are available on personaltoday.com, which is updated throughout the day to bring timely, independent commentary on the HR world. Until next week, goodbye.